Hi, friends. Welcome. This is Reality Test, where we, as two licensed psychologists, are going to be exploring our favorite reality TV shows. Dr. Ray and I, Dr. K, are going to be pointing out concepts that we work with every day. Concepts like mental health, oppression and privilege, implicit bias, and so forth. The list goes on. We're going to be doing this while acknowledging that we too have implicit bias and blind spots. We all do. Reality testing is when we check a subjective or personal emotion or thought that we're having against objective reality. So here at Reality Test, we're going to be testing the thoughts, emotions, and interactions of castmates, as well as the producer antics and episodes of reality TV against what we know as psychologists about objective reality. We hope you'll join us as we attempt to reality test. All right, it's time for our disclaimer. Thank you for bearing with us, as this is important. It's also compulsory due to the ethics of the field of clinical psychology. So we will be making the following clear at the start of each episode. In the context of this podcast, we are not acting as therapists, neither for you nor the reality castmates we discuss. We are instead bringing in our whole human selves, only supplemented by mental health and psychology knowledge. We both adhere to social constructionism, which means that we believe that all knowledge is co-constructed in the context of relationships, and that we all therefore have our own reality informed by our own biased memories and subjectivities. Thus, although we will have opinions, they are merely easily erroneous opinions informed by our biased perspectives. And while we may discuss various diagnoses, we will not be assigning them to those we watch on our screens, as we are only able to ethically do so in the context of formal psychological assessment. We are new to podcasting, as you'll notice, so thank you for your help identifying how our blind spots show up in this new context. We will value your feedback as we fumble through the beginning of this journey, but also beyond. Now, let's get like Becca and do the damn thing. Thanks, y'all.
Welcome to Reality Test. I'm Dr. Ray.
And I'm Dr. K. Feel free to check in and take a seat wherever you like.
Woo-woo. It's great to see you, Dr. K.
You as well, Dr. Ray.
Yes. And so before we get into episodes, I think, are we doing one and two or one through three of The Valley today?
Well, I don't think you've seen number three yet.
Oh, so that's right.
But that's good for our listeners to know, because then they know you don't know the context after. So that's good. That's good. Yeah. So we're doing episodes one and two of The Valley. And actually, honestly, more so episode two, because episode one, we have like 1 point. But yes, before that, let's do our check-in in a couple segments. So what are you bringing in on your heart and mind today, Dr. Ray?
The new Beyonce album came out this week. And while I'm not going to talk much about it, I thought it was pretty good. I don't think I have much.
Oh, I loved it. And yeah. I thought Blackbird, I just like bawled through Blackbird. It's one of the only songs I've learned on the guitar. And I just like can't handle it. It was so beautiful. I thought the way she did it was gorgeous. I love Beyonce. I thought it was phenomenal. But okay, I'm sorry. That's it. You go. This is your check-in.
She is fab. She is fab, fab, fab. I want to hear you play Blackbird on the guitar now, but that's a different thing. But it got me thinking about Taylor Swift's new album, which is coming out in 2 weeks. And there's a whole interesting thing between the two of them and how, you know, Taylor Swift has gotten Album of the Year. Beyonce has not at the Grammys, whatever. Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of stuff. They both had their tour videos as movies out last year. And arguably, we could say that Beyonce is the more talented artist. Oh yeah. They had that Grammy thing with Kanye. There's a lot of whatever with them, but, and I'm creating a false comparison because this isn't really about that. It is interesting that her album's coming out so soon after Beyonce's came out. But anyway, I have a prediction.
Okay.
And this is my hot take. I'm spilling it all over town. I think there's going to be a Taylor Swift backlash on this album. The reason I think this, she just became a billionaire. Happy for her. I think she's the first artist to ever do that on music alone, I read, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you go, girl. I think that Taylor Swift, for the last couple of years, has been doing a lot. I respect it. I respect a hardworking woman. I loved Folklore. I loved Evermore. I came to love Midnights later and I didn't at first, but then it just kept happening. But I think I felt in the zeitgeist that there was this kind of collective when she was coming out with this whatever poets, I forget the title, tortured poets department. Mm. I found a collective like really from people like you just came out with an album. And so I'm kind of seeing, and I'm really intrigued because I think this album is going to talk about her relationship with Maddie Healy and and probably what's his face from the Chiefs.
Oh, the Kelsey, Travis Kelsey. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Travis Kelsey, yes, that guy. And maybe they'll talk about Joe. I mean, Joe hasn't gotten much. It felt like, you know, she broke up with him and then it was the Maddie Healy era. And now it's the Travis Kelsey era. But anyway, I just have a feeling that this album might not be as well received as her other albums. And I'm intrigued to see if I'm right or not. Okay. So to be determined. We can come back to this in a few weeks. But that's my check-in. Just my noodles, as you would say.
I do. I love your noodles, what you're noodling on these days. Exactly. Yep. And that's interesting. I didn't know that we differed on this front because I'm a diehard Beehive member and not a Swiftie at all. So I didn't even, we've never had this conversation, but I, yeah, I'm diehard on the Beyonce. I have been since, that was like one of the first CDs I ever got was Destiny's Child and, you know, big, I'm a big, big fan, but I do also really, I can respect what Taylor Swift's been able to do and good for her, which is cool. So I guess for my check-in, yeah, I guess I've been enjoying her new album since you brought that up. I love it. I love, I love Texas Hold'em. 16 Carriages is fine as well. And I love, love Blackbird and some of the others. There's some real bops on there that are unexpected. So I'm into that. And then I would say other things that are just, you know, that I've been noodling on. I am overworked and underpaid at this moment. That's definitely a big thing. I think you had brought this up on our last episode about how we're at the time of the semester where everyone is sort of like scrambling to like be able to do things and get things done. And just there's a lot on all our plates. So I'm just grateful for this oasis we've created of a place where we can just connect and not be thinking about work. So that'll be mine. That'll be my check-in for today, which brings us into our segments. So we are just doing one segment for this one, and it is the speed test segment where we talk about something positive because we have to slow down and smell the roses. We have to get speed tested, get speed checked, and make us slow down enough to think about what is hopeful or, you know, not oppressive, the opposite of oppressive, which is liberating, and find what the hopeful kind of nugget is from our shows this week. So what did you find to be hopeful and, you know, positive?
Mine actually is from the Valley, even though I'm not sure I like this show very much. We'll talk more about that a little bit later. I really like Nia. I think she's really rad. And I wasn't sure about her at first. And I wonder if that was like internalized sexism or something. But she's super awesome. Like she's like a triple black belt. She just seems like a really kind, down to earth person. She seems to really love her family. And I felt really bad for her when she talked about like Donald Trump and some of the pigs that hung around all the pageant girls. And I was sad to hear that she too, it sounds like, was like, I think one of the guys like tried to put his arm around her or maybe touched her in an inappropriate way. And I think she like did one of her black belt moves on him. And I was like, fuck yeah. I just was like, I don't know. She just seems like a really cool person. And I'm happy that she's on this show. She might be a little too too grounded for this television program, but I'm glad to get to know her a little better. She seems like a lovely human.
Yeah, I totally agree. And there's, I actually have a correction from our last episode because I think I was calling Danny David, and I hope his name is actually Danny. I'm pretty sure it is. But Nia and Danny seem like a great couple. They're very sweet together, and they give each other, you know, grace and affection and love. And I think that's a really nice exception as well. So I love your speed test.
Yes, I want to hear about your speed test, Dr. K.
Mine is a little less, mine's a little more ambivalent because what I liked was when Luke, in defense of Kristen, said to Jesse, it's not a question of if it happened in terms of the nipple twisting. I thought that was a great answer to say and very important. What the ambivalent part is that I don't think there were some very historically patriarchal elements to how he was standing up for Kristen. For example, he kept kind of making it about him. Like he kept saying things like, well, this is disrespectful to her and me. Or like, well, I need an apology and so does she. It's like, why do you need an apology. She's not your object. Like, you know, and I think that part was a little bit of an ick, but I did like, regardless, when he, what he said in terms of saying, this is not one of those questions of whether she's telling the truth. And even after he said, this is not about if it happened, Jesse still actually said, if she's unhappy, I'm sorry. You know, it's like, that is not an apology.
No, it's not.
So this segues into our first episode, because I think what you mentioned about how you're not sure if you really like this show, I feel a little similarly, like I can't really pull myself away, but I will say that I'm not attached to really any of the characters, particularly the men. Like, I really don't want to see another second of Jax. He drives me really up the wall. But I will say that Kristen also can be a little bit hard to watch. There are also moments where I think she has a good amount of growth that's happened since she was last on VPR. But the women are fine. I like Nia. I like Janet. I'm not attached to them, but they're fine. I will say it's not just Brittany who is better off than the person she's with. You know, I think that they mostly deserve a little bit more than what they're getting from their men. And with the exception being Danny and Nia. But yeah, not attaching to the men in particular. But yeah, say more about your overall sort of global feelings about the Valley so far.
I don't feel like the cast has a ton of chemistry with each other. Mm-hmm. It feels a little dead in the water watching them.
Yeah.
And cynically, I think you've helped me with this, Kay, as we've been like talking about reality TV. And I'm like, okay, so Jax and Brittany are taking a break. Mm-hmm. It was a really well-timed break before their very boring reality show came out. Like, it's just interesting because it's kind of like hearing about Kyle Richards and Mauricio. Like that kind of came out right before Beverly Hills started. Mm-hmm. And boy, did it get me watching Beverly Hills, which I thought was actually a pretty good season.
Yeah,
but I feel this same, like, why are all these breakups so well timed?
Yeah, right. Well timed perhaps out of like marketing reasons. And then also I was thinking perhaps out of the fact that the show is what made them realize shit wasn't working right. Like, I think particularly with Brittany and Jack, she's defending him out of hand right here at the beginning of the season. And I just imagine at some point she must have realized, like, what am I doing? Like, people are going to watch this and see how bad Jax is. And then I'm trying my best to defend him and it makes me look bad too. Why am I married to this man? That would be my thought and feeling. And, you know, it's possible also something bigger happens that we'll find out later. But yeah, I definitely think it makes it people more likely to watch the show. So your cynicism is probably not misplaced in terms of it having a little bit of a gimmicky quality to it. The only other thing go ahead first.
Oh, no, I was just going to ask. But what do you think about episode one? I'm curious to get your thoughts.
Well, my only like little nugget that I took out of the first episode that has been sticking in my craw, in fact, is the pantsing, because it is extremely fucked up. It's sexual assault. It is more than just stupid. It's forcing someone into exhibitionism without their consent. It's illegal. If Danny had chosen to press charges, he could have. It's not consensual. It involves sexual parts, if you will, and against his will in public, on camera. And I did understand Nia being upset. I understand also Danny saying, like, boys will be boys, but that is part of the patriarchal issue here, is like, that doesn't make it okay. And that's not a behavior that should be done in public, let alone on camera. So, yeah, I took rather issue with that event. But that was really all I could remember from the first episode. That's really what I took with me because it overwhelmed my senses. There was nothing else I was really taking from it. But I think your point about what Nia shared about the black belt piece and being almost, you know, groped or like had hands on her without her consent was a great example to the contrary, and sort of thinking about what is within consent and not within consent, even if it's not intended necessarily to be super sexual or super exhibitionism raising. It still is touching someone's body without their consent is not okay, and it is still assault. So nope, that's a no. And sure enough, in episode two, it really starts out with Jax being like, oh man, when you get married, all your fun activities all gone, and, you know, I miss my youth sometimes, but like, shut up. Like, your problem is you are still in your youth, sir. You are still doing a lot of the things that you did as a child, and it really is pretty hard to watch.
It's sad because Jax has always been kind of a jerk and an asshole. For a while, he was kind of a good reality TV villain. Like, he did his job well. I'm putting that in quotes on Vanderpump Rules. I feel like now he feels like he's a reformed, better person. Mm-hmm. Like there's a false sense of superiority and smugness mm-hmm. that just does not suit him at all. It is like the worst combination mm-hmm. of I don't know. I don't know what word to put in there because I'm tired, but mm-hmm. it's just the worst kind of seasoning to put on Jax's cocktail yeah. of whatever the fuck is going on yes, with him.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, no, it's so true. And honestly, I feel a lot about that way similarly with Kristen, too. I think there's a lot with Kristen where it's sort of like, that is rough. I think the nipple twisting piece was really rough and sort of mm-hmm. it wasn't okay for her to do that either to Jesse. In either direction, that was not okay to be nipple twisting without somebody's consent. Again, it's a secondary sex characteristic and you're using it in against their consent. Not okay in both directions. Mm-hmm. And I think her hiding behind the fact that she's a woman, so it's different, was also not okay.
Yeah.
But I do, there, that said, there are moments with her where I think, you know, she is a little bit more grown than she was in ways that Jax has not. So I mm-hmm. do give her that. And she is in a slightly different place, I think. One of the things she did with her relationship with Jax is asking Jax not to invite Alex to the, I'm assuming, Dave and Buster's type establishment they were at. They were like games and whatever. And so then Jax was like told he needed to hang out with Luke. And he was so, again, childish about it. He's like, I feel like it's like Joey's mom said I have to hang out with him. So now I'm hanging out with him. And he was so awkward and even quite rude to Luke while they were alone at the table there.
Mm-hmm. It stinks. It's like, I do one thing about what you said about Jax and Kristen and their false directions. Mm-hmm. Like it's like Jax has become a worse version of himself and has even been applauded for being quote unquote right that mm-hmm. Ariana and Tom broke up. Mm-hmm. And so then it's like he's been emboldened. Kristen has gotten like vilified mm-hmm. for so long and called crazy, mm-hmm. putting that in quotes. And it's like, you know, women have to look inward and mm-hmm. improve and grow and work on themselves. And men are allowed to remain childish assholes who just don't evolve. And so I'm happy for Kristen and I'm glad for her. And, you know, I wish that Jax would be forced to have the same journey, mm-hmm. but I don't think he will.
No, I don't think he's aware of his need for it, even as many people tell him that, you know, which is really mm-hmm. tough. Yeah. I mean, even when Danny comes to join them at that Dave and Buster's table right away, his first thing is to make jokes at Danny about the pantsing. He's like, mm-hmm. oh, I was worried you were going to come without your pants on or, you know, and making jokes at Danny's expense rather than apologizing, which is really what he needed to do. You know, it was so, again, childish, doubling down, not taking responsibility. I can't stand it. I just want him to just like grow up a little bit and just learn how to be good to other people around him. But then the issue quickly turns from talking about the pantsing to talking about the nipple twisting. So that was when that is when Jax tells Danny about the nipple twisting between Jesse and Kristen. And then Luke jumps in and says, well, it was disrespectful to her and to me. And, you know, sort of got Danny ready to understand he was going to have to affront Jesse about it. And sure enough, Jesse comes and Luke says, you know, right away, takes it up with him. And that was when my little share earlier happens where he was like, no, you really need to apologize to her and to me.
Yeah.
You know, I sort of wrote like I was like, OK, like good on the first part, but I would have probably followed my wife's lead on that in terms of mm-hmm. how to address it and so forth. I think that Luke is a little bit lacking in social awareness and also like a little historical in his use of patriarchal ways of addressing your significant other's assault on them, I suppose, or like that when you're trying to defend their honor. It's very, you know, romance novel, historical patriarchy. So, yeah, I don't know. Even after Jesse's like, well, if I upset her, then I'm sorry. Luke is like, okay, well, I'm glad you apologized. Have a good night tonight. It's like, what?
It's I feel like he seems like a genuine nice guy.
Yes.
And probably a lot less. I'll just use the word toxic. I probably need to find a better word mm-hmm. than a lot of the dynamics that Kristen has been in and a lot of the guys that she's gone for. Mm-hmm, you know, it feels to me kind of like Joey. And when Joey would perform masculinity mm-hmm. on The Bachelor, it feels mm-hmm. like at times he's like puffing himself up in a way that doesn't feel true to who he actually is as a person.
Great comp. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'll be intrigued to see his arc this season. I feel sad that the guys are mean to him. Even Jesse. What did he say? He was like, someone asked, are you afraid of Luke? And he said, is a jaguar afraid of a bunny? I don't remember what he said, but it was so stupid. And like, get over yourself, bro. Like, honestly, it was ridiculous.
It was awful when he said that. I couldn't even really believe it. I mean, I just like, the point is, yeah, it didn't need to be about intimidation at all. It really needed to be more about like, hey, she's upset. This would mean a lot to her if you could apologize for it. And honestly, it upset me too, or whatever. I don't think it needed to be about him being upset. I think that was a little bit much. But if it needed to be, then I think there was a way to have that conversation without it being about huffing and puffing and threatening to take each other out or anything like that, which is so unnecessary. Just like it was so unnecessary and a bit of a betrayal to Kristen that Jax went ahead and invited Alex, even though she very much specifically told him not to, even though Danny specifically told him it would be immensely childish to do that in an earlier scene. And then even then, when he told him he did invite him, Danny like laughed like, whoa, you actually did that? Jax even tells Luke, this is the only way this is going to happen. Like, it's only okay for you to be here if you're okay with Alex being here. I mean, it's just wild, wild.
They treat Luke like shit. And it's like, obvious, I don't know, maybe the producers wanted that. Who knows who wanted this to happen? But it seems like everyone around him was like, you really shouldn't do that. That's a horrible idea. And then he's like, oh, did I make a mistake or something?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. He's like, oh, did I mess up? Oh, I think I messed up. It's like, that's his only way he's learned how to like kind of take accountability, where it's like false accountability. You know what I mean? Like, he almost makes it funny. Like, he thinks he's funny, but it's actually just really childish. He's like talking to Luke and like all of a sudden his eyes get really big and Luke has to be like, oh, is he here? You know, and he sort of like gets up angry but then Jax went and pulled Alex aside to the skee ball at first, like acting like it was just them hanging out. But obviously he was going to go tell Alex to hopefully ask him to leave so it didn't become a whole thing. But then it ended up being that everyone could get along, you know, which is, I guess, fine. But even Jax says to the camera, I don't think I blindsided him. Oh, well, I did, but. It's like, yeah, you did. You very much did blindside both Alex and Luke. It was so garbage.
Do you think it was like producer gimmicky? Because his whole like, did I blind? It felt like so poorly acted.
I think it's him poorly acting at pretending like, you know, like the, oh, what did I do? You know, it's like him like feigning ignorance. You know what I mean? Like, ignorance is not innocence. Even though you were saying like, oh, did I do that? It doesn't mean that you were not also still guilty of doing what you did. And ultimately, I don't think he was actually ignorant of it either.
No,
it could be that kind of acting. Or it could also be like producers being like, well, you should probably be able to invite Alex. Like, that should be fine. Like, I could see them sort of egging him on in that way. But I do think it would be acting either way, just because he was faking being ignorant about it, which was wild.
It was.
I will say, though, my favorite moment was that they were talking. Alex and Jax are talking at skee ball. OK, and then they were talking about how, like, I think Jax's like favorite role is basically being in like the fringes of Kristen's ex-boyfriends so that he can be like, oh, I was here first. Let me tell you how this goes with Kristen, blah, blah, blah. So he's talking to Alex and he's saying like, oh, you know, man, I'm just sort of like, good luck to you, brother, about Luke. And then he's like, you know, he's in that place where it's like sex, 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 sex. And Alex goes, yeah, I was there too. And Jax starts to say, yeah, I know you were, you know, which he was totally about to say, yeah, I know, because I was too. He was totally about to say, yeah, so that's what he does. He goes, so I know you were, not so I know I was too. That's what he totally was about to say, because he really did. And he had to stop himself. It was so funny because you were there too, Jax, and you don't want to admit it on camera, apparently, but you're happy to admit it to Alex that you both understand where Luke is at because you both were obsessed with the sex thing. I mean, Kristen talks about having a whole drawer of sex toys, so obviously they have a lot of fun. And I guess that could be a change for someone like Jax or Alex, who are used to just being drunk frat boy sex actors, you know. So at least there's a little more excitement like that. And they basically write it off as like, that's the only thing that's good about Kristen. And then you find out the rest of it. Ugh, gross.
It's disgusting and misogynistic and fucked up. And I don't know. It's like Jax was almost trying to, I'll give him this. Maybe he was trying to like not disrespect Brittany in that moment. Yeah. To be charitable to him who does not deserve it. Mm-mm. But I think he kind of gets off on the fact that he was there first a little bit. Like, I think that.
Yeah, he wants to be like the like senior, you know?
Ugh, that's weird.
He wants to be the one who was here first. Like, you're a junior and Luke is the freshman. And so like, we can joke about the fact that Luke is just barely getting there where we've already come so far from there. Blah, blah, blah. Even though it's just so childish and disrespectful to Kristen and Brittany, frankly, in terms of how this was going down. So Meanwhile, Brittany's there at the ladies' night defending him to Kristen, which we will save for when we talk about The Valley, episode 3. But just a nod to the fact that at the same time that this is happening, we're seeing little clips from the ladies' night at Michelle's house where she hosted all the women. And then also Zach, the women and Zach at her house. Mm-hmm. And shit was going down, which we will talk about once we can have all the details from episode 3 to really understand it.
I am intrigued. I have one more Kristen thought. You just like this isn't a profound or original take, but it's so like the crazy girl who's good in bed. Like that's such a like sexist trope. Mm-hmm. Like that's all this is, isn't it? That's just what the like underlying Kristen narrative is.
Yep, exactly.
That's so unfair to her.
No, it's extremely unfair. They're basically saying she's like, because, you know, it's that whole thing of the line of like a lady in the streets, but a freak in the sheets. It's like they're saying she's like sexual nympho kind of like that model that they always love, that model of a woman that men fantasize around where they're like really sexually free and open, but then they still want her to like get along well in the other side of herself, like out in public or with them. And they don't think that she does that. So then they wrote her off. You know, she doesn't have that other part that's classy the way Brittany does, for example, or whatever.
No.
And, yeah, it's gross.
She's not. And I should say the word crazy is ableist language. Mm-hmm. And obviously she's not a girl. She's a woman. I think my internalization of
Yeah.
But I still don't, I could have qualified it a little more before I said it. And I said it, but
and
it's
you said
just
it
gross.
Because that's what they're promoting. It really speaks to the problems of on a show, that kind of a trope coming through, because even people who are attending to things like sexism, misogyny can fall victim to that sort of imagery or language. That's what's so problematic about it. That's what's so problematic about Trump using that kind of language when he was president. It's hard not to absorb it when somebody in power is using it. So
totally. Don't love it. I don't love that they're doing that to her because and she's grown a lot and made a lot of changes over the last couple of years. And then these men just continue to treat her like shit.
Exactly. Nope. Not right. I totally agree. All right. Well, that lands us at prepared next time to talk about The Valley episode 3.
Woo. Can't wait. Actually, I can because I don't like it that much, but I'm going to keep watching it, obviously.
I think it's worth it. We'll hope for like better days. I think there could be some good stuff ahead. And I'm interested to see what happens between Brittany and Jax, which of course is why you're saying the thing about maybe it's producer led. But I really am interested in seeing that fallout. I hope that there's more data points for it when we get in there.
I hope she reads him his rights.
Yes. Read him for filth.
Yes.
All right, dear one, so lovely checking in with you and seeing your lovely face. And I hope you have a fantastic weekend. And thank you all. We'll see you next session.
Bye.
Bye.